In Jesus' holy name, amen. There's a lot implied in these verses that has to do with the title of the message, Wokeism, the New Religion. There is an awareness, a watchfulness, a wakeness. Today it's called wokeness. Have you heard that term? Woke? It's everywhere, isn't it? But I want you to see, here we're dealing with true wokeness. True sobriety and awareness and watchfulness, not the satanic imitation and counterfeit of being awake. Right here, what it's saying is this. Be awake to your duty before God. Be God woke. Be awake to the fact that He is going to return and not only judge every work in this life, whether it be good or bad, but there is going to be a judgment at His coming, whether it be good or bad. And you are to be mindful. You are to be awake of the fact that you have a duty to obey God, and you are going to be judged for how you have done your duty. Any other woke idea that contradicts that, or manipulates or counterfeits that, is of the devil. It's truly sad that so many profess to be woke and aware in Laodicea, this church age before the Lord comes. Well, what does the Lord say? The Lord says, you're not awake. You're blind, naked, miserable. The Bible predicts they'll be drunken, asleep, deluded, lovers of their own self. How is this generation of young people faring today? Only 9% of Generation Z youth are Scripture engaged, according to American Bible Society survey. According to, maybe you ought to give them the right Bible. Let's try that for starters, amen? Why don't you not give them 500 different Bibles that read like nonsense? According to the Christian Post, Generation Z, which the ABS defines as individuals between ages 9 and 24, were considered to be Scripture engaged. Only 9%. If you are between the ages of 9 and 24 right now, praise God if you are Scripture engaged. You're of a very small minority in America today. What Scripture engaged means is that you're centered on reading the Bible. Regarding Generation Z adults, ages 18 to 24, 14% of them were revealed to be Scripture engaged, only 14%. The survey also found that 23% of millennials ages 25 through 40 are Scripture engaged. These are very small numbers, very small numbers. The ABS also discovered that Generation Z youth were the most likely to report a decreased reading of the Word of God through the COVID pandemic and widespread protests concerning racial injustice in 2020. Meaning, you think they went home? That people would look at the pandemic? They would look at the frightful, whatever you believe is behind it, it's something that should cause sobriety. And instead, they decreased their reading of the Word of God. What happened? What happened? I'll tell you, the first thing that happened is they went home and had more screen time. Pornography has their hearts and minds and bodies. And very few are awake enough to care. They had the youth. Pornography had the youth, especially boys, from the year 2000, if not before. This past 20 years is going to be the greatest mystery to me. How Christians, knowing this, nevertheless said, you know what? I know the whole world's going to hell. I know the youth are going to hell with pornography. Let's increase your screen time and your private screen time. Let's find other ways that I might give you a Christmas present and help you go to hell. I will never understand why you did that. Unless somebody stuck a gun to your head. Everybody just drifts along doing the same thing you have always done as you lose this generation. Second, when they went home during COVID, the world sat before the introduction, the display of a new religion. A new religion that has replaced the old paths, the old biblical religion. And this new religion has the attention of the youth, especially the youth that have turned away from the Bible, from their fathers, from their parents, from their pastors, from their churches, or those that at least have a wandering heart and want to turn away. The Bible calls it wantonness. They have turned away from the traditional sources of growth, accountability, and knowledge to identify with a new religion. It's a Gnostic religion. In the early days of the Bible and the apostles and thereafter, the Gnostics claimed to have the knowledge. They claimed to be awake as they mixed paganism with Christianity. This new religion now is the religion of wokeism. The religion of wokeism. It professes to be engaged in social justice, so it's better than you. It's got its own Phariseeism. It's a revival of the old counterfeit. It's a hopeless religion, for they have no hope. Just constant anger and constant victimization. A constant looking down and trying to get you in trouble with the law. And a constant pity for self. At the heart of wokeism, the new religion, is Wicca. Go to Black Lives Matter. Study the foundations of it. It's Wicca. It's witchcraft. It's Gnostic, New Age, Hindu, humanism. Behind it all is Marxism. Right. Laughing. Using the old trick of radical victimization and class warfare. It doesn't matter who the rich, who the poor is, who the privileged are. You have the billionaires identifying with wokeism. As if, oh yes, I'm with you, I'm your buddy. Wow. People are stupid enough to believe that. They are the ones bringing this to pass and using it, many of them. Until the revolution takes place and the dictator then emerges. See, in Revelation 17, it says that there are going to be 10 kings who rule the world. And they rule it with one man called the Antichrist, the beast. And the Bible says that these 10 kings under the Antichrist are going to hate the whore. Hate the whore? Why, you came to power riding the whore. This great, horrible church, this counterfeit religion that sits in Rome and is headquartered there, but the Bible says also sits or influences many waters, which it defines as nations and tongues. It involves a more last-day blatant merger between Catholicism, feminism, witchcraft, and now we see it coming into shape, the new form of wokeism, which pretty much encapsulates all of that. Now, the powers behind it will soon bow the bloody heads of all the fools who paved their way. as Satan takes off the mask and reigns through the Antichrist. It is the final, ultimate, satanic revolution. It is the French Revolution, the Nazi and Communist revolutions, all summed up into one last day's fulfillment of prophecy, of which the other revolutions were just a foreshadowing. It will end with diabolical deception, hate, and murder as the Antichrist, possessed by Satan, laughs and mocks all the stupid people. Now, there has to be one major component to bring this about. The one component, foundationally, to bring about the religion of wokeism is to change the definition of words. I hope you're understanding. It says in 2 Timothy, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me." Certainly doctrine is at the heart here, the core, but I think there's more. When it says hold fast even the form, I believe it means even the outward shell. I believe it means hold fast even the very words. Hold fast the very words, the very language that the doctrine is communicated in. So what Satan's doing right now is a type of bait and switch with our words. Words no longer mean what they used to mean. That's dangerous, folks. That's dangerous. See, because if you change the meaning of words, now you could do that a couple of ways. You can get you a new Bible and just outright change the words. Make your own meanings. Or you can keep the King James Bible for those that are holding to it. But while they're not looking, though they read the word love, they're so full of the culture, when they read the King James Bible and see the word love, they see something entirely different than what the Bible says love is. When they see the word hate in the Bible, they see something totally different than what God meant. It's applied to things totally different. Notice, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Well, now you got a new definition of God. Keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be bad. All right, this tells somebody reading the King James Bible that they need to be good and not be evil. Problem is, they don't use the Bible to define what's good or what is evil. They use the culture. If they even go to church, they get a little pop sermon of pop psychology and positive thinking, a little feel-good pop message, pat on the head, treat you like a little kid. Most don't even get that. They forsake the Lord's Day. They don't have a church. They don't go to church. Think about the movies, the Hollywood, everything that consumes. That's where you're learning how to dress. That's where you're learning how to do your hair. That's where you're learning all these styles of what the world calls cool, what the sodomites call cool. That's where you learned all of that. You didn't learn it from the Bible. You certainly didn't learn it from Christian tradition. The Bible says, hate the evil and love the good and establish judgment in the gate. What kind of judgment? What is love? What is good? What is hate? What is evil? See, somebody was smart enough in wickedness to say, all I have to do is change the definition of all these words. They can keep their Bible. I've already changed the definition of every word in there. When they read it, they don't understand. They see something totally different. What happens when love becomes hate? And hate becomes love. When good becomes evil and evil becomes good. When female becomes male and male becomes female. What happens when everything is reversed? The new wokeism has reversed the definition of just about every word of the Bible. I didn't say it changed it. I said it reversed it upside down to the opposite of what it really is. Light in wokeism is what the Bible calls darkness. Darkness in wokeism is what the Bible calls light. Unrighteousness in wokeism is what the Bible calls righteousness. Are you understanding what has happened to the youth of America? How then, if the conclusion of the whole matter is to fear God and keep His commandments, how can the youth fear God and keep His commandments if the commandments have all been scrambled upside down? Where good is now evil and evil is now good. This is why when somebody's truly righteous, the youth look at him and say, "How evil. I shun that person. Wow, I can't believe it." Why didn't the Lord Jesus have communication with the people when He went into the temple more than once and knocked over their tables and took a whip and drew them out? I mean, just forced them out of it. Why didn't He say, "You know, fellas, can we sit and have a little talk?" No, it was past time for all of that. You understand that? Jesus, according to wokeism, sinned. Jesus didn't control Himself. But they don't mind turning over tables. They don't mind doing all these things. Everything's just upside down, see? God, help us. Isaiah 5, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." I tell you what, God has not left us unprepared for this day. "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Wow, God knew what was going to happen. They're not catching God by surprise. He says, "We're not ignorant of Satan's devices." He says, "You know what the devil's going to do. He's going to reverse your words. He's going to reverse meaning. He's going to reverse definitions. He's going to turn everything upside down." There it is. I want you to notice something very important here. Oh, please notice this. Notice that evil never really becomes good. And good never really becomes evil. Darkness never really becomes light. But they are called such. Do you see that? "Woe unto them that call evil good and good." They call it such. They rename it. What in God's eyes is hatred is called and put for love. And what God defines as love is called and considered to be hate by these people. Notice it says, Proverbs 17, "He that justifies the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination unto the Lord." So He knew this would happen. Our Lord knew that this would happen. Why are you justifying wicked people and condemning just people? Because you're upside down. You are upside down. Because the culture is upside down from God. The world is upside down from God. And Christianity comes to put it right side up. You understand? That's why it's an abomination to the world until they get saved. Listen, folks. It says in Isaiah 29, "Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay." What God's saying is, what right have you to turn things upside down that I created? What right does the clay have to say, "I don't want to be made like this. I don't want reality to be this way. I want it to be upside down. I want to be an upside down backwards pot. I want the handle to be put somewhere else," or whatever it might be. God says, is that not insane? Is that not maddening? You people that turn things upside down, that make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate. He says you hate the people that are telling you what to do that are according to God. The woke people that are upside down will make a man an offender for a word. It means that it's not saying that you can't sin with your lips. It's saying that they're not sinning, they're giving God's word, and because they're giving God's word, they are being treated as hateful, evil people that need to be jailed in the gate and beaten in the gate and punished in the gate because they said words that you're not supposed to utter in the new religion of Wicca or wokeism or whatever you want to call it. Don't tell me God didn't see all of this coming, Church of God. Amen? You now have hate crime laws on steroids. Words are seen as the worst criminal offenses, regardless of context. People are fired, even though they say the context I said that in. Not only was it 30 years ago that I uttered that word, but the context I did it in. And what about all the words you utter on the other side? Do you see the insanity of what's happening? Oh, and folks, they have gone way further. Once this works, why stop it? Everybody's jumping on board with their new victimization. I am victimized, and I never victimize anybody else. I'm the only victim. And I tell you, now you got certain pronouns and words such as he, her, she, mother, father, the word pregnant, that'll all get you canceled by the wokest. It'll all get you jailed. You lose your place in line. You become unclean. Culture says unclean, unclean. You have now become unclean. No matter what caste you were in, no matter what caste, you are now demoted and put down to a lower caste system. It's the new Hinduism. The New Age has always just copied a lot of Hinduism. And this is all just the latest manifestation of Wicca and New Age without some of the terminology sold to the people. So things are upside down. And God wants to turn things right side up and keep it that way. So if good and evil are reversed, if hate and love are reversed, it's no wonder that drunkenness and sobriety are reversed, that folly and wisdom are reversed. What's really stupidity is seen as sobriety and wisdom. What's really wise is seen to be stupid. Oh my, you're dominated and controlled, and what a terrible, sad life you have. Oh, that's terrible. So it is no surprise that what God calls being awake, the world calls being asleep. And what God calls being asleep and unaware, they call being woke. So the new wokeism is the new drowsiness, the new delusion. They are asleep. And when you finally do get really awake, they're going to say you fell asleep. Because everything's upside down. Very simple. Very simple. So are you awake morally, spiritually, intellectually, or are you asleep? I'm not just talking about, are you awake? Are you aware? Are you woke? The idea that the government lies to you sometimes. The big pharma and big medicine and big government sometimes will lie to you, and the big corporations sometimes will lie to you. Are you awake? Folks, being Bible woke goes way beyond just understanding there's deceivers in the civil realm. I'm going to show you that being awake in God's eyes means you are awake to God. He that has faith, he that cometh to God must believe that He is. That means you must be aware every moment of your life that God is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It's to be God woke. It is to be aware of your duty to God and to be aware of the gospel and to be aware of the coming judgment for believers and to look at your life and to be aware of where you're at to whatever degree you can. By the Bible, examining yourself. That's to be woke in God's eyes. So if you're awake in God's eyes, this new religion of Gnostic wokeism will call you asleep. So I want to take just a few moments to analyze this new upside-down religion of wokeism. I'm going to tell you, remember, the New Agers walk around with their crystals back in the 70s and 80s, and there were always even atheists that thought that was ridiculous. But really, the atheist with his humanism and the New Ager with their humanism shared the same foundation. So there's people today that don't like the new wokeism, or they want to trim it down because they're afraid of it. They don't want to be cut down by it, see? So they're moderate. So even some people that we would not agree with are criticizing the new wokeism to some degree. Here's David Brooks in the New York Times. He says, "Wokeness puts more emphasis on how you perceive a situation, how woke you are to what's wrong than what actually you plan to do about it. There is no measure or moderation to wokeness." James Carville, associated with the Democrats and Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, says wokeness is a problem and everyone knows it, but they don't want to say it out loud. I mean, it's this extreme political correct new religion that even somebody like James Carville that taught Bill Clinton what to say. When Bill Clinton got up there and read, James Carville was drinking whiskey and laughing, saying, "Look at him! Look what he's saying! Look at him! He's using. Look at him! Look how the people are buying it!" He was laughing because it was all a big political thing. When Bill Clinton said certain words and sounded religious or sounded country, James Carville was laughing because he was behind it as the strategist. But he's saying, you know what? Everybody knows we got a problem on our hands here with this woke stuff. Even he sees something wrong. I believe that's pretty interesting. Christianity Today, a very, shall we say, compromised Christian magazine. A writer says in May 25th, 2021, this year, "I find a troubling naivety within the woke movement, with its apparent view that sexism only occurs with men and racism only with white people." Notice how it's kind of a lopsided wokeism. It's only about certain things. You know, you want to protect life? Well, what about all lives? In other words, they pick and choose where they want to apply, like hate crimes. Is it a hate crime against Christians? A hate crime against Jews? No. They've got their specific crimes that they want to apply it to, you know. The sad reality is that all human beings have a tendency to be unjust to others. At the heart of the woke movement seems to be a bitter mindset that delights in finding breaches of its moral code. You ever seen somebody leave a church and says, "I don't like all those rules. I don't like those Pharisees over there in fundamentalism," and they adopt wokeism and all of, and they become so Pharisaical. They sit around for hours talking about everybody, and they didn't do this, and they didn't do that. All the little rules that they have. It's amazing to see how these people leave biblical Christianity and adopt real Phariseeism. I tell you. In the Bible, Sadducees killed you. It's the Sadducees that stoned Stephen, all right? The Sadducees were very liberal. You need to remember that. "It delights in finding breaches of its moral code in the hunting out and pursuit of offenders. Journalists, executives, celebrities, and even preachers increasingly find themselves carefully checking what they write or say, lest those committed to a woke ideology slander them on social media and then at their door." See, they haven't done what I've done in other preachers. They said, "I'm just going to preach it straight. If you leave, you leave. You know, I don't want you to leave. I pray you don't. But I just got to be true. Whatever the Lord gives us in this day and age, we just got to stick to the Bible and just say it like it is. It doesn't mean just purposely try to offend everybody, but we're not going to water it down. You understand? We're not going to water it down to an unbiblical concoction that's not even Christianity just to please a bunch of people, because I've already seen. You fill the church up with a whole bunch of people like that, they'll just bite and stab each other, and the whole mess will go rolling down the hill. You understand that? Woo! I tell you, Tucker Carlson, he got it right. Oh, no, we didn't finish that. Yes, we did. Okay, Tucker Carlson says, so if most people in Britain, and I think you speak for America too, see what's going on here, they see that it's a scam. They see that wokeness is really an effort by the people who are already in charge to gain more power and wealth for themselves. It is so clearly that. Why is everyone putting up with it? I think Tucker is really curious. If we all know this is just a power grab by the big corporations and big government using this, why are we putting up with it? I believe it's because Satan's at the bottom of it. And he has a deception and a delusion that's spiritual. And if you don't take heed, you'll be caught up in that wind. And you will just be blown off your foundation along with it. National Affairs has a great article. It's called Wokeness and the New Religious Establishment. I believe they've nailed it pretty good here. They say on June the 2nd, 2020, a crowd of mostly white people arrived at a library parking lot in Bethesda, Maryland, to show solidarity with a Black Lives Matter rally. During the rally, one of the organizers had the crowd raise their hands and take a pledge to oppose racism. The attendees obeyed and repeated the pledge, meaning kneeling as though in prayer. A video of the event made its way around the internet, providing yet more evidence that America is experiencing a religious revival on the political left. And that at the heart of this revival is the deification of group identity. Now listen to what they're saying. They're saying the left has become a religion now. There is an awakening, but not to God, but to a new religion. And the deity that they are worshiping is not the God of the Bible. It's group identity. We worship this identification with this group. I am woke. I am part of this. And that becomes the collective God, which really means the state becomes God, which really means Marxism is at the bottom of this thing, see. In a pun on the historical great awakenings of American Christianity, Matthew Yglesias, formerly a Vox, referred to the phenomena as the Great Awakening. Well, it's not really a great awakening. The Bible calls this thing the falling away. The falling away. And soon it will be called the Great Tribulation. Regardless of its origins, wokeness is quickly becoming the established faith in the legal and regulatory framework of the American political system. In other words, it's not just a religion that people are adopting. It's a religion that the state is adopting, and they are passing laws based on this new religion. As well as in the elite corporate culture and academia. As wokeness continues to increase its influence in the public arena, it risks colliding with the anti-establishment principles its adherents push to enshrine into law. In other words, what they're saying is, I thought they wanted no rules. I thought they screamed for generations and decades, we don't want any rules. We want to do whatever we want. See, true freedom was given by the early Baptists, who taught America, the colonies, who taught the deists about religious liberty. You got your First Amendment from the Baptist. The early historians said that. People don't even understand where you got true freedom from. It comes from God, but it was brought to people's awareness from the early Baptists. That is a fact. But you can go so far to where you say, I don't want to be governed in anything. I want to do whatever I want. We can be immoral. We can spread pornography. We can do whatever we want. We don't want any rules whatsoever. Now, guess what? Talk about Pharisees. Their wokeness now is saying, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't say that word, you can't utter that word. They've got all, everybody's getting canceled. Everybody's afraid of the cancel button. Oh no, I've been canceled. I've lost my job. I said the wrong thing. I said the wrong joke. These woke Pharisees are like the Taliban. For the woke, identity is the source of divinity. Yet individuals are not divine on their own. They must participate in the shared group identity. Certain segments of wokeness also exhibit pantheistic traits, and that they view the natural world as divine. For these adherents, particularly those who identify as vegan and green and in some cases indigenous. For other segments of the woke community, human beings must adjust nature to render internal identities external. Gender reassignment surgeries and hormone replacement. Transgender identity, in which one's inward gender identity is said to differ from one's bodily sex, offers a useful snapshot of woke metaphysics. Wokeness is grounded in a Gnostic understanding of the world. I tell you what, they understand this thing here. They've got it. Which distinguishes between appearances accessible to everyone and the reality perceptible only to a few. Well, you look like a man to me. Well, kind of. I can tell you were born a man. But see, my inward appearance. Once you awake to wokeness, you'll understand that none of these matter. None of these things matter. Reading and writing and arithmetic, that doesn't matter. Let's just graduate people regardless. It's not logic or reason. That's some type of Christian thing. Some type of patriarchal thing, you know. No, we need to have wokeness. To join the community of those who recognize this ultimate reality, one must undergo a kind of awakening. Or in identity politic parlance, become woke. See, we talk about people awaking to their sin and awakening to the awareness of God and their need for salvation. We speak of their enlightenment. They have a religious awakening here. Come on, let's wake up in church. They have a religious... This is important stuff. I'm not messing around. Your generation is going to hell. It's no time to go to sleep in here. I'm not talking to elderly people. Because I know y'all can hear and close your eyes at the same time. I'm talking about you young people that are falling asleep. I'm trying to tell you what's wrong. And why you are doing the things you're doing and thinking the way you're thinking. It's time to wake up. Man. You won't be asleep when we get the new building, that's for sure. These like-minded groups of believers replace the unwoke families, neighborhoods, and religious communities in which the woke individual was raised. Now, I wonder who wants to replace traditional institutions. That's what the Marxists always said they wanted to do. See, so the idea is you need to join your new family of woke friends. Your dad now becomes evil. Your traditional church now becomes evil and dark and unwoke. Your family, the whole family unit. All the traditional places where you used to get accountability and teaching has now been replaced by the group. The group. To share an identity with others after becoming woke is to subject one's personal identity to the rules governing that group and in turn to police those rules. Oh, I left church because I didn't like the preacher telling me, you know, that the Bible says you ought to dress this way, not be naked, and the Bible says I need to do this, I need to be against abortion, all that. I hated all those rules. So you join a group which, to be a member of that group, you have to become a Pharisee in wokeness and police it everywhere you go. I tell you, this is insane. Talk about a contradiction in people. According to the woke creed of intersectionality, Human beings are composed of not just one, but a multiplicity of identities, among which are race, ethnicity, religion, sex, gender, sexual preference. In his book, American Awakening, Joshua Mitchell classifies these various identities using the terms innocent and guilty. According to Mitchell's account, the guilty identity, or the scapegoat, namely the white heterosexual male, must be purged in order to restore and confirm the cleanliness of all other identity groups. He is the transgressor, Mitchell explains. It's more useful to think of woke identities in case terms, wherein the highest caste identities are clean, and lower caste identities are increasingly unclean. Unclean identities are those born into privilege, while clean identities are those that suffer under oppressive cultural forces like whiteness, masculinity, heteronormativity, cisgenderism, Christianity, capitalism, colonialism, imperialism, and even humanity. A person bearing all of these identities is maximally unclean, since he is thought to have experienced no suffering and only privilege. Those individuals bearing oppressed identities are considered clean. However, the identity caste rankings are not always fixed. For example, an Asian might say, well, maybe I get a free pass into wokeism. No. Now they're coming after you. Or maybe it'll be the Jews. They say, well, we've suffered under the Nazis, so we get a free pass into this, right? No. Now they're in trouble. And I'll tell you what, anybody, no matter what race you are, no matter what your background is, no matter what your biological heritage is, if you don't walk the Pharisaical walk, you will also become a member. You will also be targeted with the venom of wokeism, you understand. And you will be held as unclean. And you will go down to the lower caste. It doesn't matter. That's why everybody's saying this thing goes after everybody. You either conform or you lose your job. See? And not only do you lose your job, but you become mocked and scorned. You might lose your bank account. You might lose your ability to transact business with PayPal or whatever other banking institution. The key animating principle of wokeness is the collective struggle, with the ultimate goal being the reversal of the advantages inherited by the privileged. Forgiveness for the woke comes from being a good ally, but there is no absolution. Privilege is permanent. See, the privileged, therefore, are required to engage in constant public acts of atonement. You must atone. You must atone. And you must continue to atone. And you can never stop atoning, see. Since caste status is linked with identity, there is always the incentive for people to assume cleaner identities, whether one can identify as a race different from the one assigned. So there's a lot of people saying, wow, I'm kind of in a lower caste here in regard to wokeism, so I'm going to identify as a different race. Now, the woke people, they're sitting around, I don't know what to do about that. I kind of want to let you do it, but wait a minute. We kind of want you to atone for the whole rest of your life, too. So it's debated right now whether you can identify as another race. You can identify as another sex, another anything else. But just not another race. But yet, some people say you can. So it's an argument within the Pharisees and Sadducees of wokeism. Some universities are looking to ground higher education entirely in the tenets of wokeness. Like the pharaohs of ancient Egypt, state entities, corporations, and academic institutions offer patronage to the woke gods in exchange for their loyalty. The universities are being taken over by this whole thing. If states and public entities are increasingly patronizing woke identities and causes, are they also establishing wokeness as a government-sanctioned religion? In some respects, they surely are. Attempts to scrub religion from American public life have failed. Alternative belief systems have rushed in to fill the void. The newest and perhaps most potent of these alternatives is wokeness, which is fast becoming the dominant faith of the elite in the political, corporate, and academic worlds, and in turn, American public life. When you enshrine religion as state law. What can you do? What can you do? All other religions are judged by that state religion. And this is what's happening now. This is what's happening. As Desiree News says, a writer for The Nation recently said the Great Awakening is gathering speed. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You better get in the way of it, or it's all over. It's all over. America will become... They just said that the majority of Democrats support socialism. Do you understand that? Do you understand where you're at in America today? NBC News says Republicans are crusading against woke. Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri promoted his coming book on Twitter by saying the woke mob wanted to prevent anyone from reading it. Former President Donald Trump, in a recent interview with Fox News, said the Biden administration is destroying the country with woke. What about medicine? Medicine gets major injections of woke ideology. Journals, medical schools, hospitals adopting social justice activism. Prestigious medical journals, top medical schools, and elite medical centers are adopting the language of social justice activism. All of this comes at a time when medical schools are experiencing dramatic changes on the gender front as well, where it's becoming customary for medical professionals to announce their gender pronouns as a matter of standard etiquette. And some medical schools are replacing the phrase pregnant women with birthing people. Now, I've never been all that much for modern controlled mafia medicine. You understand that. There's a lot of deception and danger and death associated with it. But there is some good that they do, obviously. And I believe you would like a policeman or a fireman to have the strength to break into your house and carry away an adult who has passed out on his shoulders. See, I remember 20-something years ago, 25 years ago, I remember somebody telling me the test for women to be a police officer were different, the physical test, for the men. Now, how can such a thing be? I don't understand how such a... Are you going to lower the tests and just have people be doctors regardless of whether they can pass the test or not? Regardless of whether they know what they're doing? Just to have a certain amount of women or a certain amount of other people? I think this is insanity to the fullest. I don't think anybody in their right mind would want this. A doctor saying, oh, I couldn't really graduate high school, but they gave me a diploma anyway. And really, I just got in here because of wokeness. It's insane. It's insane. Woke nonsense is warping everyday life. Americans are growing angrier by the day. The rage this time is not just fueled by conservatives. For the first time in their lives, Americans of all classes and races are starting to fear a self-created apocalypse that threatens their family's safety and the American way of life. Such insanity not only means that labor-short employers can't provide goods and services to American consumers, the new ethos also institutionalizes the pernicious idea that it's smarter to stay home and be idle than go get a job and be productive. Many Americans have lost faith in the FBI, the CIA, the Pentagon, the CDC, and most of the other federal bureaucracies, which are politicized as they are incompetent. What started out as an elite woke nonsense now warps daily life. If we don't wake up from wokeness, we will continue on our sure trajectory to self-inflicted systemic paralysis, followed by civilizational collapse. You got one chance. You got one chance to get in the way and hinder. Otherwise, if you think heading to the hills, you ain't seen nothing yet. You haven't seen nothing yet. This will affect every one of you. And everyone who's listening to this message, in fact, much of it probably already has affected many that are already listening to this message. Now, I'm going to share a few moments with you on what God means by being awake, okay? You've seen all of this trash from Wicca and Marxism. What does God mean when He says to be awake? Let's go back to our chapter in Isaiah. It says in Isaiah 29, when it talked about the turning everything upside down, He says, for the terrible one is brought to naught. Praise God. God wins in the end. The scorner is consumed. God says they're really just a bunch of scorners. Rebels against God. And all that watch for iniquity are cut off, that make a man an offender for a word and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate and turn aside the just for a thing and not. God says these people will be judged and God wins in the end. Isn't this beautiful? God says He wins. All those that went woke and persecuted, God's watchmen, all of them will be cut off and judged. But notice, when they say they're woke, what are they really doing? They're watching for iniquity. They're watching for ways to hurt the people of God. They're watching. What woke means is I'm going to sit down, I'm going to become a Pharisee to watch for anybody that's serving God. Now, it has a form of godliness. Remember, the Bible says they'll have a form of godliness. But really what they're doing is looking for somebody that offends against wokeism, see. And they're going to try to set them up. They're going to try to lay a snare. They're going to say, talk to us about such and such, so they can catch them at their words. So the woke crowd watches to do evil. They look for opportunities to hinder and stop the good. To be God woke, you need to watch to do good. God's definition of good. And you need to look for opportunities to hinder evil, true evil. To get in the way of it. To stop it. To expose it. To reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. Solomon, in our chapter, says that you are to stay truly aware and awake to your duty before God, to the existence of God, and to the fact that you have a duty before Him, and there is a coming judgment at the appearing of the Lord. To watch, to be awake, means to be ready when the Lord judges you. To not be drunken and deluded and unprepared. To be Bible woke. To be God woke. Our Lord says, watch therefore. That means stay awake. For you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Therefore be you also ready. Now there's people that study prophecy. There's people that study prophecy. And they say, I'm watching for the Lord to come. But if you divorce prophecy from holiness, that's insanity. The whole point of studying prophecy and getting excited about the Lord's coming is so you can become more holy, more stirred up in the commandments of God. The reason we remind you of the second coming is not to entertain you with prophecy, is to stimulate you, exhort you to holiness. This is why the Lord said, watching means being ready. It means being ready for Him. So part of watching is not only to watch for the coming of the Lord, but it really means to watch myself with the standard of the Bible in my hand. To watch where I used to be. To see if I have fallen. Lord, how am I doing? Go to other people around you. Go to your pastor. Go to your wife. Go to your dad. Go to your mother. How am I doing? If they're walking with God, don't ask somebody that's not walking with God, how you doing? Oh, they'll say, you're doing just fine. No. Ask people that you know can tell you. How are you doing? Am I better than I was last year? Am I growing? How do you think you're doing now? Are you slipping in a lot of things? If you want to be God woke, it means to be aware that you're slipping. You are not what you used to be. You used to be better than this. You used to have better habits than this. You used to pray more. You used to give more. You used to love more. In other words, watch what's happening to you without getting overconfident and saying, oh, I've already arrived. No. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord come, who his Lord when he cometh shall find so doing. To be God woke, to be really awake, means that you're busy for God because He's coming. That's what it means. Verily I say unto you, He shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him. So he's not woke, which means he's woke. And in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and point him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. God could come tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ could come out of the third heaven tonight and start his descent. And at that point, the good can be taken. And those that are living in sin, though they know the Lord, can be cut asunder and appointed their portion with the hypocrites. Though you're eternally saved, this is the judgment seat of Christ. This is part of it, the first stage of it. God help us. Our Lord says, watch and pray. Oh, wait a second now. Watch and pray. Did you see that? That you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. What does it mean to be God awake, to be woke in God's idea, in God's plan? It means to stay awake and pray. God, don't let me enter into temptation. The delusion is growing strong. God, account me worthy to escape the things that are coming. Help me escape the things today that I need to escape. Help me escape sin. Help me, Lord. Are you afraid of sinning? Are you afraid of God's judgment? You ought to wake up and say, God, don't let me sin today. God, don't let me fall. God, just grab a hold of my lips. Grab a hold of the things I say, the things I think, my eyes. Well, grab a hold of my life today. Lead me not into temptation. Help me, God. Be God awake. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house. Listen to this. This will give you chills. And he gave authority to his servants. Do you know you've got authority? You've got authority over some things. The Bible says first you've got authority over sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. See, you've got authority in Jesus' name to pray and have His will done on earth as in heaven. Are you using that authority of His name? I mean, this is amazing when you think about it. He gave you authority. He's going to say, I gave you my name. I gave you a checkbook with signed checks in it. What did you do for my kingdom? What did you do to stop evil? What did you do with everything I put in your hand? I gave authority into every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Watch therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at cockcrowing or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. That's not woke. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. What does God mean? Boy, He means to be aware that the Lord's coming and aware of your duty and aware of where you stand to whatever degree you can be aware. You may not be able to tell absolutely where you're at, but you ought to have some confidence without delusion, and you ought to test that confidence. You ought to test with others around you and with the Bible. Take heed to yourselves. That means watch. Listen, any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. Well, if you want to find out what hold food has upon you, go without it a few days. Wow, it is unbelievable the hold that it has upon you. I'm not even talking junk food. Wow. You need to be aware of how much a slave you are to the flesh. Cares of this life, drunkenness, eating too much, and in the wrong way. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be kind of worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Lord, account us worthy of the translation. Please, Lord, I want to be ready. To watch means that this is how you pray every day. you look at, you watch, where am I at? I tell you what, if I had to right now go without the amount of money I normally have, would I give in? If I couldn't buy or sell, like in some countries now with the mandates on the supermarkets, vaccine mandate. Some states right now are pushing more and more these vaccine mandates for public. What's next? You have to affirm transgenderism to walk into Walmart? I have to have my social justice card that says I'm woke? How far are we away from that? Folks, you better figure out how much this world has a hold of you, and you better practice sometimes. You better go through the motions and practice sometimes. Fasting and going without to see what you're able to do. God help us. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men and be strong. What does watching include? Being steadfast in the faith. Not giving up. To quit like men means, you know what? You're going to fight till the battle's over. No matter how bad it looks. No matter how hot the battle is. You're going to quit like a man. You're going to finish this thing. I'm in it for the long haul. I'm in it to finish. I didn't come all this way and do the things that I've done and give up the world that I gave up to just blow it all at the end. What kind of stupidity that is. Some of you have come far. Some of you started well. Some of you have endured. And right here at the end, you're just puckering out. The last lap, you're like, oh, just forget it. I'm depressed. I'm sad. I'm bitter. It's the last lap, people. Get moving for some of you folks. Why quit at the end, man? That's insane. What, you should have sucked your thumb and got bitter way back then. You should have followed the world way back then. Why'd you even get on this ship? Even get on this road? Finish the race. Watch thou in all things endure afflictions. So I was watching when things were going good, but I endured some hard times. You're going to endure some afflictions. You're going to endure some confusion. You're going to endure some things with Satan, with the brethren, with your church family, with your own biological family. You're going to endure some things, folks. You're going to endure some persecution. Watch thou in all things. I like that. It doesn't just mean every state of life, good and bad. It means also all the things God wants you to watch in. What are the things God wants us to watch in? Oh, what about this? Colossians 4, continue in prayer. Continue in prayer, don't stop. And did you used to have a prayer life, but now you're bitter, or now you're soft, or now you're slothful? Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Uh-oh. This says that if you're watching, your prayer life will be a big part of that. Because how can you be aware of God, aware of His commandments, aware of the coming judgment, aware of the penalties, aware of the hopes and the rewards and the crowns, and not at that moment say, let's pray. Let's have a prayer meeting. Right now, let's pray. God, account me worthy. Forgive me of my sins. Help me, Lord, to stay woke in Your eyes. And notice this, watching the same with thanksgiving. Have you ever noticed that out of them 10 lepers, only one came back? It was a long way to come all the way back and say, I just want to say thank you. Have you ever noticed how flippant we are with thanksgiving? Oh God, thank you for that. You've been praying for something for so long. And then it happens. Thanks God. How about going all the way back like the leper did, saying, Lord Jesus, thank you so much. I want to show gratitude by my life right now. Not just by my words. I want to give public thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus. I want to give public thanksgiving before the whole house of God when I can, when it's appropriate to do so. I think thanksgiving is part of your watchfulness because a thankful attitude, it just changes your perspective. You're no longer a victim anymore, are you? Old Jacob, he could say, Lord, I'm not worthy of the least of thy mercies. He'd been through a whole bunch, but he realizes that, you know, much of that was due to himself too. You understand that? And I tell you, God, thank you It puts you in a state where you're not self-pitying. You understand? It's going to be hard to be worldly woke when you're thanking God and have thanksgiving. It's going to be hard to be led away with the error of the wicked when you have a thankful heart. See? You have to have a bitter, unthankful, selfish heart. Like the Bible says they'll have in the last days. I tell you, the woke crowd is going to just grab you by the nose and lead you wherever they want to lead you. And you'll become their soldier. You'll become their missionary. First Peter says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Now it's watching unto prayer, which means you're not done watching unless you're praying, unless you've got a spirit of prayer, unless prayer is a habit in your life and for our church. God help us. 1 Thessalonians 5, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. 2 John says, look to yourselves. That means watch, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Man, you've got a lot of stuff built up. You're about to lose it, buddy. All of this stuff you gained, all of these treasures, all of the sacrifices you've made, you're about to lose it. The world's got a hold of you, and you're kind of, is Baal God or is God God? Are we going to fear Baal or are we going to fear Jehovah? Choose this day whom you're going to serve. Don't you get in the middle. Don't you be Laodicea lukewarm. You're about to lose some of the things that you've wrought. I'd hate to lose it. I'd hate to lose it right there at the end. God help us not to lose it right there at the end. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. If you get taken out of here, if you backslide, say, I'm done with it. I'm done with serving God in the fundamental Bible way. I'm done with it. You're going to take out a lot of people. You're not just taking yourself out. You're taking out others. Others are watching you. And who knows? Some of them backsliders might have been just about to break because of your testimony. And then all of a sudden you backslide because of your bitterness. And you become a bitter root. Things didn't go the way you thought they should go. So now you're going to backslide. John the Baptist said, this isn't how it's supposed to go. I'm in prison. Let's watch each other, amen? Hey, bro, what's going on with you? Where's your fervency and zeal you used to have? Where are the standards that you used to have? Where's the carefulness you used to have? Where are those sweet songs and testimonies that you used to have? I want you back. And I not only want you back, but I want you to keep growing, amen? I want you to keep growing. Revelation 3, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. And thou shalt not know at what hour I will come upon thee. The Lord says, I don't want to do this. I'm about to come. And I don't want to come upon you and find you like this. You're not where you used to be. And there's some things in your life that are about to die. You've got some standards left, a few of them, and you're about to lose those too. Why don't we get back what we had and go beyond it, amen? But God forbid, don't lose the last little bit you have. There might be some in here that you're on your last, we're at the bottom of the barrel. You're right there before you slip away to the world and you become a prodigal. You become a prayer request. Hey, there's some weak people that need to strengthen some things in your life. You need to strengthen it. You need to strengthen your love of God and your love for church and your love of God's house and your love for God's commandments and God's ways. You need to strengthen these things, and I'm preaching too much. But Revelation 3 says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. You got some things. Praise God for it. Don't lose those. Don't lose them. Shutting it down, it says, 2 Peter 3, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. I mean, God's coming in fire, isn't He? What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? If you watch and know that this is all going to end, it's all going to burn, then serve God in holiness. looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. I take that to be millennial, because there's going to be some fires at the second coming, not just at the after the millennium. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Are you blameless, young man? Are you without spot? Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And then you can get on Facebook and your social media and your little Instagram, and you can say, yeah, I used to go to church. I used to be a fundamental. That's how I was raised. Ha, ha, ha. But now I'm woke. No, now you're stupid. Stupid as hell. God help us. 1 Corinthians 15, awake. Well, that pretty much says it all right there, doesn't it? I'll just put my notes down now. I tell you, that says it all. Awake to righteousness. What's it mean to be woke with God? To be awake to His righteousness and sin not. If Paul didn't say to some degree you could do this, why did he command it? He says to some degree you can awake to righteousness and quit your sinning. Praise God for that! Because sin shall not have dominion over you, and you ought to wake up to righteousness. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked. That's your spiritual and your literal garments. It can say a lot about where you're at, you know. Now, you can get the outward garments right and not have the robe of righteousness. But I'm going to tell you, there is no way you can have the robe of righteousness unless you just got saved, unless there's some medical condition, unless something's wrong. There is no way you can have the robe of righteousness and walk around naked. It just doesn't happen, see. There's no way. You got to grow. You got to grow. And I'm not just talking to this church. I'm talking to whoever God has blessed us to have listening and viewing. And let's pray for ourselves as well as those who might hear this message, that God would do His work in them, a work that I cannot do. Only God can humble the proud. You understand that? Only God can bring revival. Only God can build the house. Only God can make any of this work and accomplish what He wants it to accomplish. Let's pray. Please pray with me. Dear Holy Father, we do pray for ourselves and for each other that we would not have a root of bitterness and become a root of bitterness and thereby defile many, Lord. That we would not slip and we would not fall as Asaph, Lord. We would remember and love our brothers and sisters. I pray that You help us remember from whence we have fallen and do the first works and get back what has been lost and is ready to die. I pray You revive all of us, Lord, unto prayer. Revive us unto gratitude, a spirit of not me and self-pity me and poor me, but to think about You, Lord, to think about Your will, our duty to You, and the judgment that's coming. Please, God, I do pray that You would bring revival to all who hear. Change them, Lord. Lord, there might be some young people here, Father, that are just dead. My words have meant nothing, God. But Lord, I'm going to pray right now that You would shake them up good, Father. You would give them a shaking and a stirring that scares them, Father. I tell You, Lord, I pray their hair stand up on top of their head. I pray You'll give them a view of hell that makes their hair stand up, Lord. I pray You help them think about hell. I pray no matter how much when they walk out of this door that they're going to think about the second coming and think about the fire that comes out of Your mouth and think about the fact that maybe tonight they'll have to stand before You or that they might be in a car wreck, God forbid, Lord. And I pray You stir them up, God. I pray You give them trembling. Trembling of heart and trembling of bones, Father, that they might revive themselves and turn to You and say, I want to get right in the Lord. I haven't been right with God and I know it. Father, I pray there'll be repentance right now, Lord, for many. Please, Lord, in the name of Jesus, amen. Somebody have a song you'd like to come bring as we're praying.